Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out again for a wonderful show. And excited about you guys because this show is about you and for you. Those of you that work hard for your money and now you're ready for your money to start working harder for you. You want cash flow. You want freedom. And you want to go against the status quo of mediocrity because that's what it is. When you're taught the typical saver financial advice, the mainstream financial advice out there, it causes you to be broke just like everybody else. And you're not here to do that. You're here to be exceptional, to be the exception in that case. And so excited to have you guys out here today because, man, this show is going to be no exception. In fact, here today, I actually have a returning guest, George Newberry. Now, some of you, if you listen to my show long enough, you probably remember George from American Homeowner Preservation, where they offered, I mean, I know many of you guys invested in that company and have money in there that you're getting paid on today. And so George, you know, has since now stepped down from that CEO role. And now what he's doing, he's now the founder and CEO of Debt Cleanse. And we're going to talk about that here. But go back into his story and we'll have him talk about this a little bit. But I mean, he obviously, not only has he set up AHP, but back in the day in 2004, had an apartment building that had a natural disaster, caused him to go $26 million in debt that he couldn't pay. And since then, he's authored books like Burn Zones, you know, Playing Life's Bad Hands, which talks about that. Debt Cleanse, How to Settle Unaffordable Debts for Pennies on the Dollar and not pay some at all. And all these other kind of things. So he speaks a lot on debt. And now we've been fortunate enough to have him here to talk about that today. So George, welcome to our show.
Hey, Chris, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me back.
Tell us a little bit about the process. Where are you at right now with everything going on?
Sure. So just over a year ago, I stepped out of my role as CEO of American Homeowner Preservation. I'm still the majority owner and now chairman, but I'm out of the day-to-day operations. And we engaged Andy O'Donovan, who's my successor. She's the current CEO. She was number two at Wintrust, and she came out of a much larger organization to try to help grow AHP into a much larger organization. And I stepped back into a startup role, and I started a company called Debt Cleanse Group Legal Services. And what we are is a nationwide legal plan to help consumers and small business owners settle their unaffordable debts at significant discounts, or in some cases, not pay them at all.
That's awesome. And I'll tell you, I get a lot of requests. I get a lot of people, whether they message me, you know, personally, some through Facebook, you know, people that know I talk about finance. And a very common question I get asked is, Chris, do you know anybody who's trustworthy enough that can help us to, you know, settle or negotiate debts? And I had to do it all alone. Like I looked in different services, but I couldn't find anybody who, you know, when I looked behind the curtain, and I realized what they did, I'm like, I could do that the same or better. So I never worked for those companies. So I'm excited to have you on because I feel like you bring that solution here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And you're right. A lot of people, and me included, when I was struggling, you look at there's debt settlement companies, there's bankruptcy attorneys, there's just regular attorneys that help do settlements and credit counseling. There's all types of different people that are or organizations that are out there purportedly to help. And many of them may have good intentions, but just some of them just don't work. Others maybe have bad intentions and you pay them a lot of money and they don't work. And, you know, when I was in trouble, I paid a lot of money to attorneys. And I'll tell you that the majority were not able to help. And, you know, I kind of ended up in even worse shape because now I was kind of hoping this attorney would do something. They didn't do it. And I also paid them the retainer and some fees. So it was a tough, it's tough to know where to go. And I can appreciate that people reaching out to you, kind of a trusted source, saying, "Hey, you know, where can I go?" And there's so many options and so many that aren't good. And we're trying to do it differently. All our settlements are done by attorneys. They're local attorneys. And what we've done is we've trained attorneys in the strategies that I used when I was in trouble, maybe similar to you, you know, kind of back against the wall, not sure what to do. In the end, I did it myself. And it turned out reasonably well. You know, I learned as I went. And now eventually I wrote a book that helps people, called Debt Cleanse, How to Settle Your Debts for pennies on the dollar or not pay them at all. But then, you know, when I wrote the book, I thought, well, this gives everybody the step-by-step instructions on how to settle their mortgage, their payday loan, their business loan, their vehicle loan, their student loan, their business loan. There's step-by-step processes for all of these, and that should kind of help all these people. But then people will be reading the book, and they reach out to me on social media or email, and they'd be asking, "Hey, I'm in, you know, Charleston, South Carolina. I'm in Los Angeles, California, or Kansas City, Missouri, and I need an attorney to help me. I've got to the point where I need an attorney." And so that's when I realized there's a need here, and I didn't know really how to address it. And eventually I stumbled upon the legal plan structure where, you know, in our case, members pay us $29 a month and they get access to an attorney in their state who will provide them a free 30-minute consultation, one per month, a document review, and if they choose to engage the attorney, a 25% discount. And what we've done is we've trained all these attorneys so they are empowered with the debt cleanse tactics.
So tell me, like, why would somebody, you know, want to use your service? I mean, whether it be from a logical perspective or even an emotional one.
They have a problem to solve, which is they're getting sued by a creditor. They can't afford their debts. Their lender just started foreclosure. The lender's trying to repo their car. Any of those situations where they can't afford their debts and the symptoms of that, that's somebody has a problem and they're looking for help.
Yeah. And $29 a month, that's pretty good. I mean, considering the situation you'd be, I can see where if you were that kind of situation where you're already cash strapped, the last thing you want to do, and I've had people, you know, and companies that I've known do this where they'll say, "Yeah, it's several thousand up front and we'll help you settle it," which could be worthwhile, right? But the hard thing is if you can barely even, it's kind of like when I had a car that was my Mercedes was in that was repossessed, right? I turned it into the dealership, so I didn't have to have them take it from my garage, luckily. But you know, I turned it into the dealership, and then they went and auctioned it and sold it for $30,000 less. Uh-huh. And I remember the Mercedes course calling up and saying, "Hey, you know, you owe us $30,000." You know, I'm like, "Well, obviously I can't pay that because if I could, you wouldn't be calling me." Mm-hmm. And then they said things like, "Well, you know, what can you do payments of $1,000 or, you know, $1,500 a month?" And I'm like, "Well, that was my old payment. If I could have made that payment, you wouldn't be calling me." So, you know, and that was a tough situation to be in, trying to figure out like, okay, well, I got to figure out how to dig through this. And luckily we were able to settle for much less, you know, and that kind of thing. So, I could tell that based on what you're trying to do with this model is to make it much easier for people to be able to get that service without going bankrupt in the process.
Yeah, try to avoid bankruptcy. The majority of Chapter 13 bankruptcies. So because, you know, people can qualify for Chapter 7 because they have no assets and no income. That may make sense for them. But if they can't qualify and they end up doing a Chapter 13, the Chapter 13's, you know, the fallout rate, the failure rate is around 66%. So 2 out of 3 fail. And that's because the, you know, you're generally paying, you know, people just can't keep up with the payments. It's designed in many respects to favor the creditor as opposed to the debtor who's filing the bankruptcy. And so the better way in many cases is simply not, if you can't afford to pay, not pay. And then as they come at you with lawsuits or whatnot, which a lot of times they don't do. I mean, you may have seen this when you were in trouble. You know, if I had 10 or 12 credit cards at the time when of my collapse and, you know, you get nervous, "Oh my goodness, all of these guys are going to sue me." But in the reality, I think maybe 2, 3, 4, something like that are the ones that sued. The other ones just eventually just wrote it off. Yeah. And they never sued. Now my credit was messed up. And if you go through our program, your credit will probably be messed up. And I think my credit was messed up. It sounds like probably yours was too. Yeah. But over time, 7 years, it starts falling off, and then you can, then your credit score starts increasing, and eventually you're back to normal. I mean, now I can actually get regular credit cards and other types of credit without a problem. My credit score is in the 700s, and it's not, it's back to normal, like nothing ever happened. But for a decade, I was kind of in the penalty box.
Yeah, that bankruptcy really does do a number to you, because I've had a few clients where they've had great cash flow. They recovered. They actually did recover. They were the 1/3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Recovered, had great cash flow, and then they tried to get a mortgage. And even if they had almost the money to buy it in cash, the bank still didn't want to lend just because of that black mark that sits on there for 7 years.
And worse, the bankruptcy generally stays on there for 10 years. Everything else is 7. Bankruptcy is 10. So your penalty box, if you do file bankruptcy, just gets extended by almost 50%. So there is definitely if you can withstand the creditor calls and which even those you can mitigate. But my phone used to blow up. I'm sure yours did too. And it really stresses you out. I used to grind my teeth and it was a tough time. It was embarrassing. You get all these emotions that flow through you. I had embarrassment, failure. Where did I go wrong? What could, if I only done this one thing differently? those are all the things that go through your mind. It's tough. You try to dispel them because it's not healthy, but it's there. And I'll tell you, if you're in debt, I imagine you had similar emotions flowing through your mind.
Oh yeah, especially when you're teaching about money, you feel like a hypocrite.
Yeah, it's like you feel like an imposter. Eventually I was then where I was raising money for AHP, and so I was saying, that is the reason why I wrote Burn Zones, is because some people doing background checks on me, especially as we started getting interest from institutional investors, they'd be doing background checks or just Googling me, and they'd see these stories of, hey, this guy has all these judgments. He was, the mayor used to call me public enemy. Mayor of Columbus, call me public enemy number one. Their goal was, it's a long story and that sounds bad, but if you read Burn Zones, you're kind of understand what happened. But it was some bad stuff. And so Google searches and whatnot, I had to counter that. And that's why I did Burn Zones. But here, look at this. At the time I started raising money for AHP, bad credit, millions of dollars of judgments against me. And, I'm here, hey, invest with me. And, that wasn't exactly the best platform to do it, but I made the best of what I had. And once once Burn Zones came out, that really addressed and told people the background, why I had this bad credit, why I had the judgments against me, why there's bad stories in Google searches that show up. And I think it countered that actually more than, it didn't just bounce it out. It kind of made some people understand. And many people saw themselves in those stories. They said, hey, I kind of like you, I had a, I had my own setback, and it's good you were so open about it. And, as a result, I feel closer, and, I'm going to invest with you, invest probably more than I would have before.
Yeah. Well, your situation, I think a big misconception about people when they have a lot of debt or whatever, people, I know there's on my guilt or shame even that mm-hmm. comes with that. And I think it's important to know that not everything is because you were a crappy steward of your money. In fact, I would say, in many, many cases that I've seen, I'm sure you have too, and I know you're definitely in this category, is that a lot of times it's just crap happens in life.
And it does.
Life will throw you curves, and it's, you have to figure out how to deal with it, and it could be a financial curve. And in fact, yours was literally a freak of nature.
Yeah, it was the largest disaster and largest natural disaster in Ohio history. And we were one of the properties that had the was most impacted, but it was a huge disaster. And for your listeners that don't know what happened, it was, I owned this 1100 unit apartment complex in Columbus, Ohio, and it got hit by an ice storm. And I was from California, didn't even really know what an ice storm is. But what happened is, this ice came through, a lot of power lines went down, trees went into roofs, and I had 1100 units, which was 122 buildings. On 54 acres, and it just tore up this property. And we had temperatures outside of -8 degrees. Mm. We had power was out to 40% of the city, including all of our property. So no power. And we had this boiler heat. And so once the power went down, the boiler stopped working. So we had no heat. So we had no electricity, no heat. And then once that happened with the negative 8 degree temperatures outside, all the pipes started to freeze. And so now we had thousands of people living there, no electricity, no water, no heat, and temperatures that were sub-zero. So just, I mean, truly a disaster. That went on for 4 days. In the end, the Red Cross opened up a shelter across the street, but it really wasn't over. The worst part happened is when it warmed up, all those pipes, so many of them froze and burst and, you know, were flooding units, and it just went from bad to worse. And, in the end, the property is now a vacant lot owned by the city of Columbus, and they actually built a high school on just a portion of it. It's such a huge piece of property. A lot of it's still undeveloped. They saw an opportunity to take that property from me, and that's really what they did. And that was, so it wasn't just the disaster was number one, and number two was somebody, in this case, in Columbus, seizing on an opportunity to take my property, which is what they did.
Yeah, and that's and you obviously, like you said, you had to deal with lawsuits and creditors, people like that, right?
Yeah, lawsuits, creditors, insurance companies that don't want to pay unless you sue them, and government that tried to. State that all the buildings, they tried to evacuate the buildings, making the claim that all the buildings were subject to imminent collapse, which is 122 buildings subject to imminent collapse. And the buildings have been there since the 40s. And they went to court saying, hey, a prior owner made a construction shortcut, which has rendered all these subject to imminent collapse. And so I hired an engineer. He went out there. He took a look at all the buildings, said, nope, they're not subject to imminent collapse. And so we went to court and we actually got a temporary restraining order against the city.
Wow. Which,
just kind of aggressive, but I was fighting for my survival at that point. And we won and we got the order, but the city doesn't stop there. They went to HUD and they asked HUD to pull all our contracts, and HUD went out to the property, said, hey, you have 30 days to fix all this, and if you don't fix it in 30 days, we're pulling your contracts. And I said, hey, I just entered into a settlement agreement with the court, which said I had 6 months. And, they said, I went to court and explained to the judge, and he summoned HUD to court, and HUD said that they're a federal agency not bound by a municipal court, and they refused to attend. It was just like, what am I dealing with here? It's kind of those things when you see somebody and where everything starts going wrong for somebody, and maybe there's a reason for it, like someone in government's pulling their strings. Because about the same time, I got a notice from the IRS, hey, you're being audited. I got a notice from the state of Ohio, hey, you're being audited. And it was, all this was happening at the same time. My head was just started to spin and trying to deal with, these attacks on all sides. And in the end, I lost and I lost everything.
See, any of you listening right now, if you should be inspired. I mean, if you thought my situation was bad enough, where I was over $1 million in debt, try $26 million and deal with getting that all the combat from all sides. That's, if you feel bad about your debt and stuff right now, we can't, there's no way we can judge you because it's probably nothing in comparison.
But I'll tell you, Chris, that's a great point. When we started American Homeowner Preservation, we would talk to these families and they were like $70,000 in debt, $50,000 in debt, $100,000 in debt. And I'll tell you, the feelings of shame, embarrassment, guilt, failure were exactly the same. I mean, they tell me their story. And I said, God, that sounds just like me. And probably sounds just like you. And so it's not the amount, it's just the fact that you're in their predicament. And the reality is we all, no matter how much debt we had, we all ended up in the same place, which is broke.
Right. And the cool thing is, I mean, you work with, helping resolve mortgages, student loans, credit cards, business loans, vehicle loans, and basically all kinds of debt, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we do everything. Any type of consumer or small business debt.
Now, what's kind of like the ideal person? Like who's going to get the most value from what you have to offer?
It's probably the person who has, who can't qualify for Chapter 7. So as a bankruptcy and would have to go Chapter 13. So we're a great alternative to Chapter 13. So that means typically they have some assets and, or they have, they're employed, they have some wages or self-employed income and they want to hold on to that. But they have debts that they can't afford. So that's the ideal client. People often ask, hey, I have you know, I can afford $1,000 a month in debt, but my bills total $2,000. What should I do? Should I pay? And this is what I did. I did exactly what I tell people not to do. I would pay some one month, some the next month. And you'll kind of keep like a little bit at everybody thinking, okay, that way they're not going to sue me or escalate it. And, but then, you know, that just kind of deferred the inevitable or delayed the inevitable, which eventually I crashed. And then I did really stupid stuff, like the worst thing, which I think based on our conversation, actually, maybe Chris, you did the same thing, which is to borrow from friends and family, which is like, I tell you, don't do that. Don't. Because friends and family will loan you money when no one else will. And it makes no sense to loan to you. And all it did for me was delay a reckoning that I was just completely going to financially crash. And but I got some money, you know, borrowed here and there. And that money, you know, later on, I don't care if me, you, or any listener doesn't pay back Bank of America, Citibank, Wells Fargo, who cares? They can. It's like a tiny little fraction on their balance sheet that doesn't matter, have any impact to them. But if you don't pay back your mom, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your cousin, that's a disaster. And it makes for some very uncomfortable Christmases. So those you got to pay. But you don't even start that. Don't even borrow from them in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big deal. Yeah. I mean, do you think it's somebody that has to have a mortgage to do this kind of thing? Or is it something that any kind of situation?
Any kind of situation. We have people with business loans, credit cards, student loans. People say, well, what about student loans? Those you got to pay back. And it's not completely true. They're harder to discharge in bankruptcy. They're harder to not pay, but you cannot pay them. And, you know, people will say, rightly so, that, well, then the IRS can levy my bank account, can garnish my wages, can intercept my tax refund. They have the power to do all that. But the good news is before they do that, they have to send you a notice. And in that notice, it gives you some rights that you can request copies of the documents that evidence the debt. And they don't always have them, or they don't always have accurate and full and complete copies of the documentation. You can also request a hearing. And if you lose at the hearing, then you can sue the government or sue who's ever claiming that you owe them money. And whatever you can find that they did wrong. And creditors routinely make mistakes.
Yeah.
And so whatever mistakes they make, you can use that as leverage. And eventually, you know, you probably won't get off without paying anything, but they will become more and more open to some kind of discounted settlement.
Right.
That's favorable to you.
I know, definitely. When you get those discounted settlements, that can really accelerate your ability to help pay those off.
Absolutely. And I mean, look at it like this. So think about it like this. Credit card, for every 100 credit card lawsuits that are filed in this country, 93 of the debtors, so 93 of the people being sued will not even answer the lawsuit. So those go straight to default. They get a default judgment. Then they're garnishing wages, levying bank accounts and all this. But the 7%, the 7 people that actually answer, they jam up the system. Now they can answer. They can show up in court. They can, maybe with an attorney, they can ask for copies of the documents for life of loan payment histories, all these things that in many cases, the person company suing does not have. And now that opens a discussion. Okay, wait, you know, what does your client want? That's what they're going to ask the attorney. What does your client want? Well, they owe you $10,000. They can give you $1,000. And then they'll, of course, say, okay, like $1,000 a month. And they'll say, no, just $1,000. And you're really trying to settle these things for pennies, you know, 10 cents, 5 cents.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more, but in that range, not 50 cents, not 60 cents. If it's unsecured, you know, if it's a mortgage or something like that, secured by some asset that you want to keep, it could be more. But
right,
if it's these unsecured debts, you can really get those way, way, way down.
Yeah. What about medical collections?
Even better. Those same thing. It's like a credit card, even weaker in some cases. You can they're unsecured. Definitely something you can settle at huge discounts.
Which is great, because I know when I try to do it myself, I was pretty much not settling at all. Maybe if I was lucky, I got 90% of the balance I had to still pay. So I only got like a 10% discount, you know?
No, you definitely be looking for something more like 90, like paying 10%. I mean, think about this. So we've had, as part of, we provide some self-help tools on our site. And sometimes I know the attorneys ask the attorneys to use the tools for them. And I'll give you an example in medical. You can, there's a letter, a template letter that we have on our site that you can use to send to a hospital or a doctor. And, you know, if you have a bill that you can't afford, a medical bill, you can ask them, is this the same charge for this service that they charge everyone else? Was this really medically required? Was this, was I advised of how much this is going to cost when I first received the service? All these questions, which the answers are very difficult for the hospital or doctor to provide. And lots of times it can really put them, create some leverage, which, you know, lots of times they didn't tell you how much it was going to cost. And when I go to the doctor, they never tell me how much it's going to cost.
Right, they send you a bill.
Yeah. Is this something that I really need? And many a times doctors in America today will practice kind of defensive medicine because they're not sure. They don't want to get sued for malpractice. So they'll order some tests, even though they don't really think they need them, but they may, there's a chance they may need them, instead of providing it in, you know, hey, this is the one for sure this guy needs to test or process or procedure. And so those are things that you can use to your leverage. I mean, and the bills are just, I see, you know, on my insurance, the bills are just really high. I went in to get my for a hearing test and whatnot. It was $1,200. I was there for about an hour and a half, and I was with the doctor for maybe 10 minutes. Yeah. And I said, wow, it's just a lot of money. And so those things, you know, I paid it because, I mean, my insurance paid it, but I can imagine somebody without insurance or hadn't met their deductible, $1,200, you say, wow. You know, if they're having financial trouble, that's going to be a big challenge. And that would be something where you'd want to contest it and eventually settle it for some huge discount if you even pay it at all.
Now, I know there's probably some people thinking right now at this point, and I know how I'd answer, but I'd like to know your perspective of when someone says, well, wait a minute, like I'm basically paying them pennies on the dollar. You know, isn't that kind of out of integrity, or am I not being fully honest with people when I do that? What's your answer to that?
Yeah, no, it's totally, that's a great question. I mean, and in America today, there's, and always, there's been this, you know, my mom always told me to pay my bills. So there's this yeah, kind of sentiment where, you know, it's the right thing to do to pay your bills. And I don't dispute that. It is the right thing to do to pay your bills if you can afford them. But if you can't afford them because you were laid off from your job, because you were, you just got divorced, because there was a death in the family, because whatever the reason is, unexpected medical expense, any of these things can make somebody who could afford all the debts all of a sudden can't afford their debts. A natural disaster. That's what happened to me. Yeah. Any of those things, now you can't afford the debt. And so what are the options? Are the options, you know, I could still be paying, I could spend the rest of my life paying back that $26 million. And that's not a great option. I hear from people who are take 2 and 3 jobs trying to pay off their debts. They don't have time for their wife or partner. They don't have time for their kids. All those things are compromising their life, but they're paying back their debts. Are those good choices? I mean, I guess that's a matter for the individual person to decide. But the reality is when someone extends credit, they take a risk. And the reason you pay interest or any kind of fees is to offset that risk. And it's a risk. It's not a guarantee that you're going to pay it back, even if you sign a personal guarantee. Things change, situations change. And most of all, I would say that there's, when it comes to some of the predatory marketing and some of the predatory practices and some of the predatory products that are peddled by Wall Street or the elite of this country. And I would say that would be in the form of payday loans, in the form of subprime auto loans, which are often, you know, originated at the buy here, pay here lots that kind of pockmark the low to moderate income neighborhoods across our country, the merchant cash advances. There's a lot of products, even some credit cards, that go from being just a credit product to being a predatory credit product.
Yeah. And
in those cases, I have absolutely zero sympathy for the lenders that originate and market those loans. And if they don't get paid back, I think that's great.
Yeah, I kind of had the same feeling as you too, because I was really struggling with, because I didn't file for bankruptcy when I went through it. I worked on, like you, trying to pay back those loans all I could. And I eventually got to a point saying, you know, it's better. I know if it were me, roles were reversed, tables were turned, I would rather get something now than maybe something in the future, right? You know, because somebody owes me a full amount and it's so big that they never pay me. I'd rather get money now and just move on and not deal with that, you know, that headspace and just deal with it. And I know that's actually what Trump did in the 90s. He was $900 million in debt, I remember. And he says this in his book, Never Give Up. He talked about how he was struggling because the airline failed that he had. And he personally never filed for bankruptcy, as he says, right? But he definitely had some companies that filed for bankruptcy. And he's like, he was walking around with $900 million in debt and trying to figure out how to get out of it. And he did the very same kind of strategies you did. Like he went, found ways to settle and negotiate. And his brag is that he made the Guinness Book of World Records for fastest comeback of a billionaire of about 3.5 years of going from billionaire to almost upside down 1 billion to back to billionaire again.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So why in America is it cheered? Is a situation like that where a businessman or businesswoman makes a decision to that's prudent and wise? I mean, if we were shareholders or we were partners of Trump, we would think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But when it's like your brother or your sister, oh, they're not going to pay their bills because they can't afford them, and it's business, it's absolutely the right thing to do is not pay their bills. But why, for whatever reason in America, there's oftentimes this little cloud that is going to hang over, your brother, sister, friend, whoever, their head because they didn't pay their bills. It's like, they're less trustworthy or they didn't live up to,
their obligations.
Really wrong. But for businesses, it's absolutely not the case. It's what they had to do to survive, and that's respected.
Exactly.
So I think we need to change that perception where if it's the right thing business-wise for an individual or family to take steps where they don't pay their debts or settle them at big discounts, I think that's the right thing to do. And I think if you strip it down to that, it is the right thing to do. And if they truly can't afford them, and to be clear, I'm not advocating people, getting credit, going out and buying all kinds of stuff or getting these big credit lines and putting all this money in their bank account and then saying, I'm not going to pay you. That's definitely not what this is. This is, you can pay your debts, pay it. But if you get into a situation where you can't pay them, then you need to take a realistic assessment. And if it's really unrealistic that you're going to pay these, you need to proactively stop paying and gain some leverage over your creditors and settle these at discounts if you pay them at all.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, I completely see the point. I see it's a huge need too. There's a lot of people, and I think there's going to be more people that are going to see this too, especially as we're starting to see even the feds are getting a little bit jumpy right now with everything going on in the marketplace. So there's a possibility another we're kind of entering into fall in the economic cycle right now, and things are getting colder currently. So if there's any time to prepare, it's now, right now. So
I 100% agree. I think this is another downturn is in the offing, whether it's a month away or a year or two away, it's coming. And I think a lot of people are just barely getting by right now, and some people are already struggling. And but once that downturn hits, a lot more people who are getting by today will fall into the struggling category.
For sure.
Hopefully we can help them.
Awesome. Well, George, I appreciate your time today. This has been great. And we'll go ahead and put the link in the show notes so you guys can look up his company. But man, if you're in the situation, whether you're a business owner or whatever it might be, or someone who just, you're like, man, these debts are getting hard to pay. Hey, you've got an option right now. Reach out to George's company and see what you can do about getting that handled now. Because I'll tell you from my personal experience, the faster you address it, the more you stop making excuses and just focus on getting out of this situation, the better it is. And I'll tell you from my personal experience, emotionally, when you start to handle things like this, it's amazing what happens because when you're emotional and your mind frees up, your ability to increase and create income also increases. My income drastically increased when I didn't need the money as much anymore. So if you can get to that place where you can finally say, okay, I can settle this. We can make this work. There's an answer. There's light at the end of the tunnel here. Watch, it won't only just benefit you from the sake of saving money, but I also guarantee that on the side of making money, on the other side that might seem unrelated, there's a benefit there too. So reach out to George and his company and check it out. So George, again, thank you so much for your time, man.
I appreciate it again, Chris.
Everybody, I hope you make a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. and check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.